Now boarding for Rebuild of Joycast, your weekly destination for anime, manga, and more.
Go! Welcome back to Joycast, everyone. It has been two, almost 3 weeks since we last did one.
Since you last did one, Stina's been filling in for you.
Ah, damn. I haven't been... I haven't been checking in. No, I've been busy as a mother. It's been.
It's like you're busy. It's every other week one of us is busy. This is why the podcast is going to be ending in now 10 more episodes. We are never working the same week, and we are never off the same week. This was the first one we finally had together. I mentioned on a YouTube blog post that we would be off for 2 weeks straight. Little did I know that Golden Week was next week, so there's no point in coming back next week when there's gonna be nothing to talk about. So our schedules aligned this week, so we're here back early. So our 2 week sabbatical became a little chopped up there.
Indeed.
But we got a lot to talk about.
We do. My Hero Academia and One Piece have been popping off. Chainsaw Man is a wet fart as always.
It's a wet, like, flapping fart. Like, we'll get... I said we won't talk about it, but, God, we really need to mention. We really need to... I feel like it's not necessary for us to, like, bring Chainsaw Man fans back down to Earth, but they really need to... Like, I'm sorry, but the reaction to this arc that just completed is coping. Like, the reaction is a pure cope.
Chainsaw Man fans,
you are being robbed. You are being swindled.
We're getting into it then. Chainsaw Man 163. I was looking through the comments of this one specifically because I was so shocked. Like, I don't know.
Chainsaw Man fans, you deserve better. I'm not here to be I'm not saying that Chainsaw Man's shit. I'm just saying that you the fans are getting ripped off.
It is.
This is jail breakout arc. What was that? That was, here's Katana Man and here's Jinpei, what was her name?
Oh,
she's Chinese.
Oh, Quan Shi.
Quan Shi. I'm thinking of the Japanese. Say the Chinese Prime Minister is what I'm thinking of. Jing Jinping.
Yeah. What the fuck? Oh no, it's Xi Jinping. He's got a contract with the communist devil.
That was such a, like, don't even dare call that subversive. That was just cheap. It feels like Chainsaw Man is like a TV show that was really successful. It's like an anime that's really successful, like beyond people's expectations in the first season. So they rushed the second season.
No, it feels like a WB show, like the fucking, like.
Rushed season two.
It's so bad, people. Like, oh my god.
There should be some really good things promised. Some really interesting things are promised. But they never live. Nothing. Go all the way back to the school shooter arc. Nothing. And you were the first. You were the first one to smell. To smell something was wrong.
Yes.
We're like, nothing is living up to the set. Things are being set up, but the payoff does not pay off. And this prison arc is the biggest, most recent example. These things do not pay off what he's setting up. This is not. It's not bad, but this is reasonably upsetting. This is reasonably disappointing.
I feel like Fujimoto is fucking up a lot in that. I think he is either cutting things way too short, like
It goes back to what I said. He's being rushed. He can't do this weekly. He cannot do this weekly.
I don't know. I think he just didn't plan ahead enough. I know he wanted to work on his one shots and everything in the time that he was like taking that break from Chainsaw Man for like 2 years or whatever.
And those one shots were awesome. There's a movie adaptation of one coming out because they were so good. When's the last time someone's one shot got a movie adaptation so quickly?
Well, I'm gonna say, I know that Sandland, which was literally just a fucking one shot, maybe had a single volume.
Took forever to get it, and that was Akira Toriyama. So again.
Yeah.
So Fujimoto's quality as a writer is not in question here. It's the fact that he cannot work under these conditions. Chainsaw Man cannot exist at a satisfying state under this condition of weekly. We thought that moving to Jump Plus would have been a benefit, but it's not, because they're just treating it like the regular magazine, maybe even worse so. I don't understand how Jump Plus is so well run, but Chainsaw Man specifically is not.
I think maybe he's terribly managed. Monthly. Like I
yes.
mostly
if, okay, if he so went I monthly, it'd be so much better. I know
I,
it would.
I don't know though. I do not know. All I know is that Chainsaw Man Part 1. I've seen so many people cope. You are absolutely right in that people are coping with this.
It is pure cope. I feel
say,
so bad.
Chainsaw Man Part 1 was bad with pacing already when you were reading it week to week. I don't know why people are complaining about this one. No, it is like jarring the cutoff point. I was expecting, okay, this is the jailbreak bit. This is the full on, like they're going to be escaping. But no, there's just a jump to. We're in an apartment, Fammy's eating fucking spaghetti in the other room.
No Great Escape, no pop, like, we got a funny little guillotine
we
bird.
Went to,
that's what we got. And Denji being cut into pieces, where we get one funny bit where they reveal him with the head. That was interesting. Fun little homage to what's in the box and his dick being cut off and they're playing with his dick. Like, funny little bits, but nothing on a narrative level. That's like, oh my gosh, this is the set piece.
He's just, dude,
none of that, none of that.
It has just been fucking around, and this whole Denji. This is why I was so like,
and not in a funny slice of life way either. This is not the good type of fucking around.
I knew from the fucking beginning that this Denji.
This is a ripoff. Fucking around.
Nothing. I knew it was gonna be nothing, and it's like we're in the Devil Hunter, the government Devil Hunter HQ. Where presumably, I imagine, this is where they have, like, the future devil, where they do all the contracts and shit. There could have been so much, Ivan. There could have been so much done with this.
Yeah, like, you don't have to tell me. There was so much promise. Like, every other setup that this part has done, there was so much promise, and he doesn't answer any of it. He just goes, oh,
like,
you want Quan Chi and Katana Man back? Here they are for one chapter, and then they fuck off.
We could have had, like, a mass devil breakout or something. Asa and the gang just...
Here's the thing, at minimum, we could have just had one really cool fight with this particular set of characters, the War Devil, against the Devil Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
We've demonstrated that that the War Devil's gotten stronger. Let's demonstrate that, and not in a vignette. Because the only time we've gotten a demonstration is the vignette of, oh... When we have the really weird little time skip, where suddenly Asa just fully developed, it's like that's the one character we should be sticking with. This whole thing has just been a mess. And I would not be shocked that 10 years from now, even 5 years from now, even a year from now, when this part is done, and Fujimoto reveals in an interview that he never had anything planned. Like, he's like, oh yeah, Shueisha just gave me a bunch of money and I just showed up every week. I would not doubt that's what's happening. Like, he just does not want to do Chainsaw Man. I don't want any more Chainsaw Man after this. Because what I'm seeing here makes me feel like he doesn't want any more.
So why
do we want this? When we know that the man has talent, why do we want this? Like, this is stinky Chainsaw Man fans. Again, this is why I say you just all deserve better. Fujimoto fans, you deserve better. This man is fucking around. Shueisha's rushing him. You're not getting even close to his best work right now.
It's sad. I'm just sad at this.
And it's why we don't want to talk about it anymore, but this was a conversation worth having.
I am more sad. I'm going to go into Ivan fucking dissing Dragon Ball fans mode. Guys, get some fucking taste, for God's sake. You read Chainsaw Man Part 1.
They had
one.
To know that.
You
no,
know.
This is why they have my sympathy, Val. They did have taste. They did have taste. Chainsaw Man was good. Fujimoto is an excellent one-shot writer. If you like Fujimoto, you have taste. This is why I feel bad. This is why this fan base is coping right now. Because they're used to having better. This is like, what if, you know, Vinland Saga's writer, you know, what if that series went downhill suddenly?
I'm pretty sure people debate that Farmland Saga is like kind of a low point.
People who think Farmland Saga is a low point are dumbasses. You're dumb. Farmland Saga is probably like the best part of the series. I wager that Farmland Saga is better than what's happening right now.
It might be important to the character. I don't know. I haven't read Vinland Saga. I'm gonna wait until it's all fucking.
I read in volumes, and I just say that from start to finish, I've really enjoyed Vinland Saga. I think the prologue arc, as I call it, is incredible, but Farmland Saga just like takes all like. again, the fact that they preach it like a prologue as, okay, that's just set up to what Farmland Saga is. And that's its own story, its own thing. It's like, I mean, Stina was here last episode talking about a series called QQ Sweeper that had a, that was basically a setup to another series that was practically the same premise, but you're like, okay, we're going to use one miniseries to set up the world, then I'm going to pop off and do another thing. But it takes place in the same world, uses a lot of the same power systems. It was Queen's quality. I feel like Vinland Saga operates that same way, where you've got two distinctly different stories, but they exist in the same universe and have the same characters. And they're very important to each other, and they complement each other. And yeah, so people who say that Farmland Saga sucks, like, grow up. You deserve Chainsaw Man Part 2 if you think Farmland Saga sucks.
Fair enough. I'm sure I'm going to enjoy Vinland Saga when I do get to read
it. You will. You love that mangaka. I love Planet Fish. And this is very this is still very emblematic of his work from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that the current arc is definitely slower. You don't feel the stakes because now you're reckoning with real life, real world history. And I shouldn't say that because obviously the British Wars was also real world history. I should say for me personally, you're dealing with real world history that's in my backyard. So I know how this goes. So it's like, I know how this goes. I'm not quite feeling the tension because this is you're in my backyard doing my history now.
What? Wait, what? Did I?
With the Vikings settling in the Northeast.
Okay.
Because we know how this works out.
I was going to say, man, they literally enslaved us. And, like,
whereas you know. Yeah, exactly. You know how that works. Again, it's the fact that you know the outcome. That's what I'm getting at. It's a long-winded way of saying, you know the outcome, so you don't
feel
the stakes.
We ran them out eventually, and then the Romans came, and they kind of... Well, the Romans kind of did everything for us.
Yes.
Romans kind of rule, not going to lie.
And lots of people like the Romans. They had style, man. They had panache.
All of our roads, even today, are actually still based off of the Roman roads.
The cobblestone is definitely Roman. I know that for a fact.
They literally, Ivan, you understand, they rocked up, looked around, and went, this place fucking sucks, and then they whipped us all into building roads and shit.
Isn't that how it goes?
Yeah, it
okay,
is.
So now let's be a little more positive and hopeful, and let's talk about Astro No Guy by Ken Wakui, mangaka of Tokyo Revengers. They're localizing it to Astro Royale.
I just want to say on this point, look, I also love Chainsaw Man. I still love the characters. I think I want this to turn out really good, but for fuck's sake, when you have had 10 plus chapters of nothing terribly substantial, there was just for a little bit, when like Denji initially got captured and everything, that was cool. But now we're past that, and all I see, Ivan, are people going, damn, Fammy got a fatty. Oh, Fammy's such a fucking sexy bitch. It's like, shut the fuck up. I don't fucking care.
No, so on my timeline, it was, look at she ate the spaghetti. Like, yeah. look at her eat. Again, Chainsaw Man Part 2 is incredible setup, followed by meme fodder.
Your
payoff is meme fodder? Like, people who like Chainsaw Man, people who, like, unironically, like, 100% think Chainsaw Man Part 2 is infallible, are terminally online. That's the only way to explain it.
I'm so
sick of brain
meme
rot.
Culture, Ivan. I'm so sick of it.
They have online terminal brain rot, and I feel so bad for them.
And what is
because they deserve so much better from Fujimoto.
What is with Chainsaw Man and normalizing people loving women that, if they were real, would be smelly and dirty as fuck?
That was my thing I was laughing about was recently is that Velma show. We're not giving this much time, but that Velma show on Max.
Oh, yeah, they released all of season 2 and just they've just kicked that out to die, haven't they?
And they changed the design of a character from that band in one of those movies, and there's people like sweaty, showerless behavior motherfuckers bitching about that. And it's like, you are terminally online because that's exactly what that woman would look like in real life, and you would lust for her. You would. Stop.
Oh, what, you mean like Hex Girls and shit?
Hex Girls, yeah. They have a new design. I'm like, that looks like a more realistic, like photorealistic take on them, and you would be all over that if you saw that in real life. So stop bitching,
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, I mean, no, I literally, no, I'm looking
She looks perfectly fine.
I'm looking at the picture now. Look, I went to a gig like last year or something, maybe the year before.
That's a real life goth chick. Sorry.
And they had this band that I had never fucking heard of on stage that were pretty damn good. I bought a fucking t-shirt. And yeah, no, they look pretty much like that.
Yeah, the same thing, as you described. That's exactly what that kind of person looks like. And these are the same, like, the people bitching about this are the same people that get mad about seeing fine hairs on the skin of a video game protagonist when their real issue should be make good gameplay, not photorealism.
Yeah.
Hair comes free with your endocrine system, you dumbass. Seen a real woman. Sorry.
Me and Ivan both probably watched the fucking Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost. Yeah, Thorn, the Hex Girls are fine, but like, no, that
they're fine,
like,
but they're cartoons. You can't fuck them.
That is like a...
That's
is
not
like,
a real person looks like.
That is like legitimately, because, you know, sometimes...
And I get it, you want your cartoon characters to look like cartoon characters, but that's not what you're complaining... But we know for a fact that's not what they're complaining about.
There is sometimes, like, what feels like a conceited effort to make characters like really fucking ugly sometimes, in my opinion, because I do look at some
artistic style.
It's the Tumblr thing, you know. We both know the Tumblr art thing where it's like they try to give characters realistic and not normally seen in media qualities.
Yes,
like, alopecia, I think.
And they hard press it. Like, your character doesn't have freckles. Your entire character is a freckle. It's interesting. We're not going against that. We're just saying, yeah, like, it's overcorrection through art.
Yeah, it's like I remember seeing, like, it was literally, I remember being on Tumblr for a while, and like every day I would see at least like seven characters or something with like new OCs with vitiligo or something like that. Like, it's interesting for sure. But this is like the least of like make a character ugly. That is.
Yeah, I know. Like, what they are currently bitching because it's the hyperbole.
This looks like a woman that is on the road all the fucking time doing.
This looks
a band
like a.
That
this
is
looks like a person in a band.
Successful. It does. It really fucking.
And it's
does.
And it's communicated through the design. So unfortunately, I have to give Velma the W on this because it's actually a really good design. I don't like that fucking show. I think it's very mean spirited. It's very anti art, and I feel, again, much like Fujimoto, I feel bad for everyone involved with it.
I took a look at the last episode just the other night.
No
when
thanks.
I was showing my girlfriend. Yeah, no, I just took a look at it. Because
I don't hate
like,
watch.
Wait, they put the whole. I'm not even hate watching. I'm just taking a look. I'm just peeking because I don't.
It's
care
a hate peek.
It.
It's a hate peek. Don't do it.
I don't hate it. I don't care about it.
Fucking Zaslav sees that and goes, "Oh, Valentine did a little hate peeksy. We're gonna count that as 20 views among the millions of little hate peeks."
Well, you think I watched it?
And they're gonna forget. And they're gonna green light that and not something.
Yo ho, yo ho, motherfucker! You think I looked at Velma on anything?
Good. Hey, if that's the case, good.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, what was it? It was like at the very. So I look at it, and I don't know what the fuck's going on really, but Scrappy's in it, and he's
Scrappy. Yeah, I've heard about this.
He's a government experiment. He's bulletproof and he wants to murder people, and yet as far as I can tell there is no sign of Scooby-Doo.
I've never understood the I think it's funny, but I've never understood it. Must be a certain, this had to start with James Gunn when he wrote the Scooby-Doo live action.
No,
it
I
had
remember
to, he must have been Patient Zero, where there's a certain generation that grew up with Scooby-Doo, and for some reason they did not like Scrappy.
My mom, and now
that older generation
me.
Then got into our generation's head where our formative material was a movie where Scrappy was the villain, and now the generation that's writing stuff only knows Scrappy as a villain.
See, I liked Scrappy as a kid, and when they made him a villain initially in the movie, I was like, oh, what the hell? But this is kind of fun, actually, because my mom was like, well, Val, when I was a kid, my mom's like a 60s child.
Yeah, this would be the generation that'd be like, okay, how does your mom feel about Scrappy?
Yeah, my mom fucking hates Scrappy, and my mom's like, no, Val, I liked the fact that he was, like, the bad guy, because I bet everyone who was my age and liked Scooby-Doo, and then they introduced Scrappy, went, fuck yeah, they kicked him out. That bit where they're on the road and he pees on Velma and he's just being annoying and they just leave him to fucking die. I don't blame Scrappy for coming back and wanting revenge, actually, on them. They didn't even drop him off in society. They just left him on the side of a
okay,
road.
So she's definitely a Scrappy stan. She's for Scrappy having a negative arc.
Yeah, she's actually really for that. She was like,
your mom,
no, that
your
was
mom
fucking
has taste.
Genius.
She understands that development is development as long as it's development.
You see, I was talking to my girlfriend about this, literally about this the
other
night.
Doesn't matter what direction it goes.
And I was saying, I am certain if I go back and watch classic Scooby-Doo and then see where Scrappy is, I'm sure he would annoy me to some degree, but I bet there are going to be aspects about him that are at least entertaining and not
I recall Scrappy very clearly as a child, because I had friggin' Boomerang and friggin'... That's back when Cartoon Network was less... I mean, when I was a kid, you know, okay, here comes my old
Boomerang
card.
Boomerang is just old reruns now.
Yeah, even before Boomerang, like, when I was a kid, Cartoon Network didn't have cartoons just yet. It was a Looney Tunes Hanna-Barbera archive. That channel was founded simply as an archive for old cartoons. So I watched a lot of Scooby-Doo on there before. This, like, Dexter's Lab and shit, you know, and Powerpuff Girls, that stuff was just premiering when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So we had all the old stuff first, and I recall Scrappy-Doo just being a silly little dumb sidekick. Like, he wasn't offensive. But then again, I'm not old enough to be, you know, watching that when it first came out, when Scooby-Doo was Scooby-Doo, and then they had Scrappy. So again, that's why I look to your mom and James Gunn, like, okay, you guys experienced this. What did it feel like to be introduced to Scrappy-Doo after being a fan of Scooby-Doo for so many years?
It is the same as us. It's like, you know, what is it? Digimon. They remake Digimon. A lot of people don't like it. I don't like the...
It's not even remake it. Like, this is like if Chainsaw Man added a little Chainsaw Man sidekick.
People just don't like change. We're seeing the same thing today where it's like, you know, old thing versus new thing. Teen Titans Go. Granted, like, these are kind of extreme differences. I mean, those are whole remakes.
That's a whole different argument.
Yeah, I am understanding of why people get pissed off lately about media being changed in radical ways. So, you know, we grew up with Teen Titans. It's a pretty grounded show that covers serious topics, you know, issues about self-doubt, identity, belonging.
And it comes back as a pure comedy. It's all it is. It's just a pure comedy. Like, I've watched it.
And the issue is, it's not bad. It's not bad, no, but it's infuriating because then it's like when we get the news that Teen Titans is coming back, and I'm like, oh my god, not only do I get to enjoy
Teen Titans, when they pulled that crap, that was cheap.
New generation now get to enjoy Teen Titans as well and see what I saw in it, but now it's just a fucking comedy, and it's been going on like 10 times longer than the original quality show ever did, and now there's kind of
that's the impression of what Teen Titans is now.
Yeah, but now there's kind of a gap between, like, or a space where what once was going to be, oh, common ground with the younger generation, and that kind of thing, where it's like, oh yeah, you get to see Slade and how cool all the characterization of everyone is and the problems that they go through. You get quality TV, and now it's just like, oh no, you get, like, twerking and butt jokes and...
And that was Powerpuff Girls. Like, so I've watched, like, the Teen Titans... Say what you will about Teen Titans Go, but the movie... is actually legitimately one of the best superhero films. I will die on that hill.
I've heard a lot of people.
Given the state of superhero films, Teen Titans Go to the Movies is actually fan fucking tastic in that regard. The TV show, I think it's fine. It's harmless.
Yeah, I mean, I remember one. What, there was, like, an episode where I think they go to a dinosaur island that my friend showed me, because he watches all the fucking cartoons all the fucking time, and it was like, everyone's like, oh, my favorite dinosaur is this. And then Robin's like, my favorite dinosaur is the Velociraptor. And everyone's like, that's lame. Like, T-Rex, Triceratops and stuff. He's like, no, it has hands. It can open things. They're smart. They're awesome. And then the dinosaurs, like, turn on all of them and they hide in the house. And it's like, and Robin's, they've all been trying to train their dinosaur to, like, do the thing they want it to do. And Robin's like, open the door, but it doesn't. And then he's like, it's okay, we're inside, and there's a door, and raptors are stupid, and then the raptor does open the door, and he's like, oh. And I was like, oh yeah, that's kind of funny, I guess. It's a nice little payoff or something. But if you
view it as the lens of a pure comedy, it's fine.
It's fine.
If you want the original, as I tell anyone, you want the original thing, you watch the original thing.
It doesn't have to. Why has it been going for 10? Fucking! It's been going for 10
cheap,
fucking
years. It was cheap to make, and Warner Brothers is the Batman factory. It's all it is.
They did the Justice League stuff. They did the cool Flash Crisis on Infinite Earth.
Yeah, but have you seen? So that's been trending on Twitter. Is the latest Justice League Warner Brothers animation? Warner Brothers animation has gone down the freaking pooper. Their movies, like, because I know what you're talking about, those Bruce Timm era freaking films. Even after that, they've had some good movies even after that, but something in the past, like, ever since that that Killing Joke movie, everything's just gone downhill.
Ooh. Ooh.
But let's get back on track here with Astro No Guy.
Came out in 2017.
What's that?
Killing Joke came out in like 2016, 2017.
Sounds about right. That sounds about right.
I'm trying to think, like, have I seen or been like actively interested in a DC animated movie since then?
Yeah, not since then. I haven't.
I don't think I have, you know, and that's quite upsetting to think, because yeah, that movie, here's the thing. Contrary to public, I actually don't even mind the whole, like, Barbara Gordon fucking sexually assault.
It's Batman. Bruce Timm's fan fiction, let him be.
I actually don't mind that storyline. I would enjoy the interpersonal drama. That's fair, no, it's perfectly
but,
fair.
But it's also fairly canon to Batman Beyond, is it not?
It's canon to Bruce Timm's Batman, because even in the animated series...
I mean, yeah, for sure. Yeah, again, I know it's him,
In Batman of the Future.
But Batman Beyond is also pretty Bruce Timm-pilled.
Yeah, because he that was his sequel series. Oh, Batman Beyond is so fucking good, Ivan. You have, like, go back and rewatch that at some point, actually.
It definitely merits a rewatch when I get some time.
But Barbara Gordon, and in that is entirely canon to the... Tim universe, I guess, because that is why Nightwing leaves. That's why a bunch of people leave Bruce, and he becomes the bitter old man that he is. Barbara Gordon in the show is even like, yeah, me and Bruce had a thing, but I grew up, I wanted to drop the cowl and live my life, he couldn't let it go. Which is why I am fine with that sort of thing. If he wants to, like, I would completely welcome if Bruce Timm just wanted to make his fucking adult, like, or teenage, I don't know, Batman series or something. I would like to see that, actually, because I just love his fucking work. He's really fucking good, even if people do find it distasteful, which is completely fair. But My Hero Academia, right?
No, Astro No Guy first. We need to talk about the newbies real quick.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
I just need to say, I said in the post, but now it's in recording, I told you so, not you, Val, but the listeners, specifically Twitter, I told you so, I freaking told you so. The fact that Astro No Guy was going to be a winner. People act like, oh my gosh. They were treating it like Kagurabachi before Kagurabachi came out, but they would not reference Kagurabachi when they said it. Like, they never learned their lesson that if you hate something on Shonen Jump before it comes out, you are giving it an upswell. Because hate viewership on something that's actually good just swells into huge support. Because that's what happened to Kagurabachi. People went to hate read it, and then went, oh, wait, this is really good. And because my expectations were so low, good becomes freaking phenomenal. And that's what happened. And with Astro No Guy, it was that. Plus, unlike Kagurabachi's mangaka, Ken, the mangaka, is very experienced. He knows what he is doing. Between the art and the writing and the setup, this thing, before the twist even happens, we spend an entire first issue with nothing but family drama and setup. And by the time you were halfway through this, you're already invested. In short, Astro No Guy is basically it's about these two brothers, not by blood. They grew up in the Yakuza. And right now, the head of this particular clan of the Yakuza is dying, and he dies. And he hands these two boys... leadership goes, hey, I'm passing on leadership to you because the rest of my sons, the rest of my Yakuza family have lost their way. They're getting a little too cocky, and you guys need to show them the way. You need to bring back the Roman panache here, basically. And so he dies. They're at the funeral, and everyone at the funeral's like, fuck these two motherfuckers, we should just kill them right now. Fuck this shit. And then, boom, a meteor hits, and everyone gets blown back. Suddenly, we are in, like, a post-natural disaster Tokyo, where now the Yakuza are even more powerful than ever, and they've all split into factions, and they're all trying to, because of this shakeup in the family, now they're all trying to rise to be the new head, because now you're not just the head of the family, you basically rule Tokyo, Japan now, if you're the head of this Yakuza. And now certain people have superpowers, and they're all new to it, so this isn't like Chosen One bullcrap. This power set is new to everybody. And everything's wild and new and just like, oh, this thing is poised for long-term success. Mm-hmm. Like, if My Hero Academia had ended on time, this is clearly this has been planned for a while. This was supposed to be, you can tell this was My Hero's replacement right here. This is the closest thing you're gonna get to classic Shonen Battle Jump right here. But yeah. Also have a very interesting premise that isn't a retread of the same exorcism tropes and phenomenon.
This is not
chasing a meta.
Oh, what's it called?
This is doing its own thing right now, and I'm very invested. I very much like this.
Do you know about... Oh. It is giving me such a vibe from an anime that I watched but never finished. And it's about a kid who... Law of Ueki. Do you know Law of Ueki?
I don't. I thought you were about to say like Hitman Reborn or some shit.
The concept reminds me of Law of Ueki, which also reminds me of Zatch Bell when I think about the concept, where basically superpower battle royale, angels come down from heaven, go around Earth, do their thing for a while, waiting for the day that a tournament is set, and then entrust a power to a certain individual, like a child or something. So an angel goes
to a school. But this right here is not... So what I like about Astro No Guy's setup is this is not preordained. I'm sure that as the series goes later, I'm sure there is some extraterrestrial... There will definitely be some extraterrestrial end boss. Goes the distance.
There was a thing that said that
you are correct.
Thing has connected you to the stars. It will absolutely be
But as it currently sets, I'm going on pure premise. We only have two chapters right now. And these are the best two chapters we've had in years.
Hmm.
Because it's like, hey, this isn't lame and this isn't like immediately obvious. Like, it's just like... We have this very fascinating, compelling, engaging family drama. And then, snap of the fingers. Okay, now that wasn't you thought the dad dying was the inciting incident. But actually, it's pseudo-post-apocalyptic Japan is now the inciting incident. And now it's like, okay, you thought you already had your work cut out for you, boys. Not only did you need to bring your family back together purely politically, now Japan has been turned into a battlefield. Because it's a shonen battle at the end of the day, and that's fine. But the fact that he took the time, he took those 50 pages to just set up the families and the interfamilial politics to really make it juicy and mouth-watering that each family that you will engage on a weekly basis now.
Yeah.
And make it family of the week, essentially. Like, this is very fun. I'm surprised. This is one of those things I'm like, I'm surprised this is not on Jump Plus. Like, whoever decided this, whoever's the editor, whoever's managing this project is very smart, very disciplined. And Ken Wakui is the right guy to do this. Like, Ken's fresh off Tokyo Revengers. I know people have issues with how that ended, but... We're only talking about
how things
started.
That's the reason why a lot of people are shitting on this. I know that for a fact, because everyone was really pissed off when that ended.
Yep, but the fact that the man got you that far, this man can at least sell magazines. And that's all Jump needs.
Thing that made you remind me of Law of Ueki, though, was definitely where you said, everyone has these powers, it's all new to people, so there's not going to be, unless there's like an extended
period
like
what I mean is like there's no
manga.
Formal setup to this.
Yeah, but there's not going to be like... So the thing with Law of Ueki was the angels are like, hey, you
there's
get
no
one power. You get one power of anything that you want, but it has to be reasonable. So the kid is like an environmentalist nut. He hates people that litter and stuff. And he's like, okay, I want to be able to turn trash into trees. And the guy's like, that's fucking stupid. How are you going to win at this rate? And he makes it work, obviously. And it's pretty cool. But there's silly stuff like a guy whose head can be made of diamonds. But there's always... an activation for it, so
it's very similar with Astro No Guy, very broad, basically. It has to do with what, because basically, like, when the meteor was on its way, it looked like a wishing star, so everyone who made a wish on it, that their power is related to their wish, it seems. So it's not as because it's a shonen battle, it's a superpower shonen.
It doesn't
and this
seem
one doesn't
comedic.
Seem like its magic set is very hard and concrete yet. It's whenever you wished, and so that gives him a lot of freedom on a weekly basis. Like, all right, what power set do I want to show this week?
They just need someone
to write more than 19 chapters, and they got it. This is gonna last longer than 19 chapters.
I think so for sure. Now my point is that I'm expecting like more comedic aspects from this as it comes, because in Law of Uweki it'll be like, guy's head turns into diamonds. Oh man, how can I beat this guy? I need to figure out his activation thing, because mine has to be, the rubbish has to at least fit in the palm of my hand. And then he's like, oh wait a minute, this guy's running at me with his hands in his pockets to headbutt me. What idiot would do that unless you put your hands in your pockets to activate your powers? Like, oh, no! And then he just like trips him up because he's a fucking idiot running with his hands in his pockets. Just stuff like that. I'm expecting something like that, so it should be cool.
Yep. Otherwise, on the other side of the spectrum, we have Kyoto Necromance by Fusai Naba. This is the guy who did Aliens Area.
Oh yeah, I took a quick look at that.
Yeah, this one is, it's just an empty hodgepodge of every supernatural shonen. Like, when I keep bitching about Exorcism Battle Shonen, here it is. Again, they don't learn their lesson. And that's, and in this particular case, this is the one that really pisses me off. Because Fusai is very talented. Like, in the new gen, does this guy have, if not, like, one of the most recognizable art styles?
I mean, I didn't recognize it as Alien.
You didn't recognize, because to me, I recognized, like I didn't need to know the guy's name. I'm like, this is the Aliens Area guy. Like, I get his art style. He's very distinct. He's very talented art-wise. But this story, and you can tell he definitely hit a workshop. He definitely read a few audiobooks on writing. Because he's trying to do a save the cat here with the grandma. And it's like, okay, he's practicing his fundamentals, but this still isn't it. This story is not engaging at all. I'm rolling my eyes. I really don't care what's happening here. I'm supposed to care about the grandma at least, but even that, I can barely be arsed. And that's the problem, is this is very hollow, and I'm very angry because I know the wife's tale here, we have a three-strike system, but I don't think you even get that anymore with Shonen Jump, because our boy, Genusuka, he's still been banished to the Edutainment magazine. You know, like, he still has his third strike available. Where's he at? I don't like a guy so distinct like Fusai here.
Oh, so they have stands.
They have supernatural stands. People, again, I'm not as well versed in these ones. People bitch that this is literally JoJo, Bleach, Shaman King, everything. They said it is a hodgepodge.
You know what else started out as a hodgepodge and became like also one of the most popular manga in Shonen Jump?
What's that?
Black Clover. It was fairy tale. It was Naruto.
It didn't though. Valid didn't.
It's done very well for itself.
It's been solid. It has a foundationally solid. I would give it like Dr. Stone success, where foundationally it is secure.
It's lasted a lot longer than Dr. Stone has. Wait, is Dr. Stone getting a sequel?
No, it just, they keep inviting him back for one. They keep inviting Inyaki back for one shots because they missed it. They regret rushing Dr. Stone out the door. They literally just made, now that Dr. Stone's done, they just made a Dr. Stone mobile game. So like something is definitely up. They're flirting with the idea of a spinoff.
That's because the anime is still going.
You are correct. But I'm just saying that Dr. Stone is foundationally solid. Black Clover is foundationally solid, but it's not My Hero level. It's not JJK level. Because that's all Jump wants these days.
Well, that's all anyone wants these days.
Black Clover got banished to the Giga. Because they're deliver what we want. But foundationally so solid, they couldn't just get rid of it, because otherwise it would look like a murder.
it is one of those things where it's like, obviously, we want our entertainment to be high quality and everything, and really fucking good, but it also feels like we ourselves are probably overly judgmental of these stories.
Oh yeah, of course, we're critics.
I agree with you. That's what we do. Like, the spiritual thing is, it's
tired.
Totally
it's just
overdone.
Tired. It's tired. How can the same magazine give us a Kanebanashi and Kagurabachi and stuff like that, but we keep trying to ram our heads through this small Cheerio, Honey Nut Cheerio sized hole
called Supernatural
manga?
Ivan, pick up your wife. Me and you can pool all our money together and we can go to Japan and let's try and find out what the next best thing for Japan will be. I'm saying cowboys. Let's write a cowboy manga, Ivan.
Dude, they are so into cowboys. Have you seen that video when there's just like a line of like 50 Japanese guys all like drawing their guns?
Where's the fuck? Cool. Then I'll say...
The Westaboos, they're called.
Where's the cowboy manga, Shonen Jump? Where is it?
It was called Steel Ball Run. They already did it.
No. Where is the legit Wild West manga?
You want specifically Jump Wild West is what you want.
Yeah, I want my Shonen Jump equivalent of Green Blood.
I know. I like how our minds went to the same place. Like, gosh, yeah. Green Blood. Fucking sick. Green Even though I actually enjoyed rocks. The mafia part better than I enjoyed the Western, I'll be honest, but still.
That's fair. I like both. I think they're both very good parts.
You feel about that the way I feel about Vinland Saga.
No,
like, again, two distinct. One is a setup. Like, they're two distinctly different stories, but they complement each other.
Mm-hmm. No, it's the first part is the story. I mean, really, Green Blood is really about the younger brother when you get down to it. It absolutely is. He is the one that is, it is his journey to out of adolescence.
He's the audience stand-in. Like, he's the perspective, like, okay, here's my brother here, like, from his perspective, like, trying to parse this together, like... It's great. It's an old-timer. You don't have to sell me on Green Blood.
That author fucking rocks. He really does. Just good shit. Masasumi Kakizaki. He is really good. In fact, I believe... Yeah, one of his series actually just ended. His latest series just ended. In last year, it seems. In September. And that was going for like... 2 years. It only has 3 volumes.
I want to make one last piece on Kyokoto Necromance, and that's that I've seen some people actually really enjoy this, and I want to make sure I wrote this in my notes. The writing might not be bad per se, but I think the translation is very bad. Something about it does not flow right. If I would actually take the time, Val, to read it and tell me, just like off podcast, like when you're on vacay, just like
take a chance,
read it and tell me if something about the flow of that writing is wrong. And it doesn't feel like it was the author's intent. It feels like something went wrong. Something got lost in translation.
I'll say this about the guy. He clearly wants to make like a buddy cop story.
Yes, he definitely, because that's his in.
Say what you want about Aliens Area, I thought that the experienced alien hunter guy looked fucking cool, actually.
Aliens Area is far more interesting than this. That's why, that's part of my big gripe, is we canceled Aliens Area and then got this. Bring back Aliens Area, if we're putting this guy back on the magazine, give that more time to cook, with the experience he has now.
I mean, I like my...
Because the alien thing was at least a little bit more different.
Honestly, I might go back and just reread Aliens Area, because I only checked out a few chapters, and you know me. I have been so bad at reading manga for like the last couple years. I've just been stuck with My Hero. When My Hero Academia ends, I'm sure I'll find that next one that I'm going to be on. And
I think Ashura no Gai and Kagurabachi are it for me. I'm also going to try to like continue Akane Banashi. I generally think that's the big three now for new gen.
Ruri Dragon?
Oh, Ruri Dragon's a given, but speaking of Ruri Dragon, congratulations. First manga to get 1 Rurillion views on Jump Plus. Congratulations to the queen.
I don't... This manga makes me fucking angry!
I'm going to make you even angrier. So this went on Jump Plus. Like I said, it completed its contract with Jump, then shifted to Jump Plus for like 2 weeks, and then it went on a month hiatus. It went on another hiatus, Val, and guess what happened during that hiatus? It got even more views, even more viewership, even more volume sales.
I'm angry and upset because the people put their fucking heart and soul and try and like meet these deadlines. And fair enough, you made a winning formula. That's fucking amazing. Bravo.
Imagine being so good at what you do, you don't have to do it very often.
did you read Bakuman?
I did not read Bakuman, no.
There is a fucking character in Bakuman I always remember. He's a office worker who on a whim decides, I'm going to do manga. And he makes a fucking series about a sea otter in a business suit with rocks for hands.
Yes. I bet it's a hit.
And it's like the third or second biggest selling thing in the magazine. But the whole thing is that this guy kind of fucking hates that it's so successful. It's like Sea Otter Kazuya.
Like it's too much for him. And honestly, Val, that could be what's happening behind the scenes. Like, that could be, because we, again, they, that's one of the things we don't know about. We don't know why this man was sick, or for how long. For all we know, that could have been too much exposure for the man.
Oh my god, so in Bakuman, this, he,
but again,
this
that's speculative, please do not take, please, no one quote me on that. Don't, I don't like gossiping and stuff about things, about people's health, especially not mental health, and making things up, but holy crap, that could have been what happened.
But let me tell you, so basically the story is this character joins in the ranks of Shonen Jump, makes a series called Otters 11, and then it is so successful, it gets cancelled after 200 chapters. And throughout the manga,
only 200.
He is miserable. He is miserable while he's making it. He's just like, no, I want to stop. I don't want to do it anymore. I thought this would be fun and easy. And it's like, get back to the fucking grindstone, slut.
And honestly, like, not exactly that with Redragon, but just again, we've discussed that you've got to be built a certain way. Like a huge part of Oda's success is his endurance. It's his durability as a human being. Like, genetically, this man was built to work that long for that many years.
Right.
Like, that's why he's allowed to do what he does. Because that could kill. That does kill a lot of folks. And since some people aren't built for it, it's like you get something successful like Redragon, and you might not be built for the success and the workload that comes with Redragon's success. And it's very unfortunate. I've got nothing but sympathy and compassion for that.
That's all I can probably say about it. The only thing I can say about Redragon is I bet it's going to end after maybe 10 or so volumes. And that's probably for the best.
And you say only, like, that's good.
Oh no, 10 volumes is good. Like,
50 is a good run.
But we've just been having that conversation.
50 chapters is a good run for anyone.
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, plus 50 chapters is like what, 2 years or something?
It depends on how you partition out, because I was shocked. I learned that Marriage Toxin just celebrated its 2-year anniversary. It has 70 plus chapters, nearly 80 chapters, maybe more now, in 2 years. If you want to talk about a guy who's built for it, it's Marriage Toxin's mangaka.
You can at most get
52. That motherfucker never took a week off. He does the thing that Spike's Family's guy does, where he does little mini chapters, which don't count in that 72, by the way. They're called EXs, so it's more than 80. But still, the fact that some people just think they've got a good rhythm.
I was going to say, you can at most get 52 chapters out a year, but then there's stuff like Golden
Week. That's the maximum you can get out a year. But even that, because you got to count Golden Week.
Yep,
so you really can't get 52 out in a year. You really can't.
That's like the max you could get, though. But I'm like, so I was like, yeah, you could get,
if
like,
you were insane,
you could probably get 10 volumes out in a year and a quarter, maybe.
So let's say, so generously, you could do 10 volumes in 2 years, and that would be a good run.
Mm-hmm.
Be a busy one.
Sorry, I'm looking at Alien's Area again, and holy shit, the artist does fucking rock, actually.
You know, he's a good artist.
He's a really good,
distinct artist. And it's like, I wish he either took a little bit more time, develop his craft, maybe learn some lessons from Kyokoto here, or he just teams up with a writer. Because the art is, he has it, man.
Agreed.
You can see why he gets the job. His art is definitely very worthy.
Let's talk about My Hero Academia.
It's time to talk about My Hero Academia.
Honestly, Ivan, not gonna lie, with the fucking spread that it came out with when the title dropped, I was like, you mad, Maddie? You just gonna end it right? Are you just gonna, like, in the next 2 chapters, 3 chapters? Because Ivan would be happy about that, I'm sure.
I know, every other week, I bitch. I'm like, Horikoshi's health. He needs to slow down or get it over with. And then I see chapters like this, and my heart just, like, my stomach drops. Because, like, we are at the end here. And by the end, I mean Shigaraki will come back to life, and then he'll kill All for One. And then All for One will come back to life and kill Shigaraki. And we'll do this for about another 2 years. But realistically, yeah, this is the final battle. And this whole thing with the portals, like, this is, like, old My Hero Academia in a good way. This is cheeky, referential Horikoshi. This is fun.
It's all Infinity War.
This isn't very deep. This doesn't have me freaking out like previous chapters. But this is just, like, this is the ending I expected. Like if you go back to like 10 years ago, reading the opening chapters of My Hero Academia, and you showed me this, I'd be like, yeah, this is about what I expected the ending to be.
Hmm.
This is expected, but this is still good.
It's more
this
crazy.
This is still good.
What's crazy to me, really, is the difference in art then and now.
Oh, yeah, people were remarking about that. Yes, he was already a good artist when he was doing My Hero Academia.
He has only gone better, but you can tell that he, like, just, dude, if you look at the old, like, it is more shading, actually, in the old My Hero Academia.
He uses tones more. He uses tones more in the old My Hero.
And very interesting face shapes, I find, and, like, the way that the characters, like, expressions are, he really, like, pulls
very good spread. But someone also remarked about that, the fact that he doesn't suffer from same face syndrome.
No, he's never suffered.
Not even close to it. Crazy.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing to avoid.
Like, I'm looking at this I'm looking at this shot of Deku when Bakugo's all like, kill yourself, dumbass. And Deku's like, well, Bakugo, there's no harm in me trying to like, you know, sign up for a Hero Academy, is there? And he's so fucking cute. God damn it. I see why people are obsessed with, or like, you know, Deku Bean or whatever. He was a bean.
He is. He's literally a green bean. But but otherwise, you've got the Avengers Portals moment. We're all facing off against All for One, the ultimate evil. I still do not like the excuse of why he's back, but I'll cope.
I actually liked that.
But it is an explanation, though. He's just like, I'm so pissed off about my brother that I came back.
I love the fucked
he,
up
he's
little,
tethered
like,
to reality by pure evil and hatred.
Yeah. No, it's his horrible, like, little fucking
It's fitting
sense of
for what this ultimately was. This is very fitting.
I love that. I love the fact that he's just, like, weirdly obsessed. Because I always wondered, like, what his feelings were about his brother. And then it's like, oh, no, you're just mine. That's it. You came into this world with
He's so possessive of that. He's like, you destroyed... When he killed Shigaraki, he killed his brother. And again, he cannot see that is his fault.
Hmm.
It's all his fault. Again, going back to the first time his brother died, he killed his brother by just dissolving his fucking body as they were running away.
Yeah. I like this fucking, like, Formias as well. It looks all fucked up and shit. It's very...
Well, what we said, we're going to get a giant All for One at the end? Well, here's your approximation to that.
I don't want giant All for One. I think he looks cooler, actually.
Now you get a big black mass All for One. Freaking Evangelion freaking All for One.
I like the Final Fantasy-esque inspiration. Like, he's got the big fucking black wings and everything.
Yeah.
Like, I dig it. I'm digging this whole thing. I still... What was it? I saw a fucking YouTube short the other day, and it was like, I'm pissed off about this kid handing his shirt over. I don't want this kid's dirty fucking sweaty shirt. I want the Skycrawler to come in and give Deku his fucking hoodie.
Everyone's talking about this, and let me just say it right now. Of course, us as Vigilantes readers, of course that's what we want. But you gotta remember that the grand majority of people who read and watch My Hero Academia have never even heard of Vigilantes. That's how horse blinders this fan base is.
But wait, that is something. Actually, do you want to do a mini recap?
What I was saying is that the fact that Midoriya got the guy who bitched about Deku being harbored in the first place back during the Dark Deku arc, like, hey, you're inconveniencing us. The fact that he gave him the shirt off his back. And the fact that Deku recognizes it as a total freaking otaku shirt, like, oh my god, this is a mint serial number something something shirt. And it's like, those little connections between people, all those things they have in common, I thought that was so sweet. Like, yeah, Skycrawler's the bigger name, but only for a niche set of the fan base. The fact that that Horikoshi continues to connect parts of his story continually and make those things worthwhile and connected, and I love it. That's my favorite part of this chapter.
Okay, you're right, Ivan. We don't need Skycrawler, but we do need Captain Celebrity.
We don't need. I mean, I would love Captain Celebrity. That's even more niche because.
But
if there's any smaller fan base than people who haven't read,
I actually have an issue with this chapter though, and it makes me.
You know who else hasn't read Vigilantes?
Who?
People who've only read like 10 chapters of Vigilantes and then stopped reading it because it wasn't about Deku.
because he was
only in the first chapter.
Do you know what did upset me, though? And if she's not in the next chapter, I'll be actually pissed off.
Who?
Where the fuck is Deku's mom in the people supporting her son?
Oh, they've done cutbacks to family members.
It's important.
Do you want her to fight too?
No.
She got the teleportation. You got the
you got little fucking water boy with the little devil horns. You got fucking Gran Torino. You got all the people like the shark.
Parents
man.
Are really not that important in Shonen Jump
but
stories.
But Deku's
I'm so
mom
sorry.
Is important.
Ish.
That woman. That,
I agree.
Ish,
and we've
ish,
had we
ish.
We've had cutbacks.
Mother,
we've had-
shut your fucking mouth. That woman raised the goodest boy. She raised the goodest boy. That's what
she actually
did.
Failed.
She
reread chapter one where Deku says that the one thing I wanted you to tell me, mother, and she didn't tell him.
But she didn't fail.
Well, she failed in a moment. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that, no, you're right. She's important because her most important moment was when All Might bowed to her and apologized. Like, she is representative of the pain that these... She's like the president of the parents of these children.
Mm-hmm.
She's the top representative of the pain that these family members and guys like Nana's son. The people that... I mean, she failed Deku. Deku failed her, too. The pain that she causes her where he throws himself through those things because she loves him and doesn't want him to get hurt. And all he does is throws himself into freaking natural disasters. The man's got a compass for danger, and that's
indeed
so distressing for her. I agree, Val, but she's never ever been more than a cutaway. Like, okay, let's see Deku's mom reaction. And you don't think we're not going to see her before he does one more smash. Val, just you wait.
If
she's
not there, I will actually be like, what the fuck?
Maybe not a chapter from now, but you will definitely see her one more time before this series is done.
I am all in. I am feeling feelings that I felt 10 years ago when I first read the series, and I was like, damn, this is going to be... Like, there have been doubts.
It's that last panel, the when he's running. Like, that is a Yusei Run moment right there.
There have been doubts.
Do your best.
I don't think I've been quite as harsh on the series as you have at times.
No one has ever been more harsh on the series than I have.
True. But like, I am legitimately like all in on this ending. I knew that.
I'm still in. Yeah, hell yes.
I knew from the. I accepted a long time ago that Shigaraki was not going to be the main villain more than likely. It was. I know even you knew deep in your heart that All For One would worm his way back in eventually.
Oh yeah, no shit, he'd be back. Again, he's always been the personification of the devil in this series. The devil made me do it. And that's the only thing about it I don't like is the whole devil made me do it approach to when people do bad things here. What's that game they play with Kevin Bacon? Like, Eight Shades of Kevin Bacon? Where it's like, you can connect everything to Kevin Bacon in eight tries. Like, it's even less, though, for All For One. It's like, if you meet a villain, somehow All For One caused that. And it's like, oh my gosh, can people just have their autonomy, please? Can there be a systemic issue and that it's not All For One's fault for being just purely evil? Can we not address the complexity of putting your... hero worship around the economy, like, and Redestro's the closest we get to that. And you agree with me, Val, that Redestro should have been more.
Yes.
He was so cool, and they got rid of him so quickly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like, you know what? I feel like Redestro would have been too complicated to write for.
For Jump, yes, but not for Horikoshi. Horikoshi has proven that he can, when the editor allows him to cook, he can do it.
My point when I was arguing about like Redestro should be the villain, fuck Shigaraki, I want.
Well,
Redestro
I think.
To kill
well,
Shigaraki.
I think he should be a
I
longer
was about
presence,
Redestro.
Not the end boss.
I was all about the fact that Redestro has a legitimate point.
Yeah, he has a point and he has a connection to all of this. Again, he. It's just like he was such a good like new gen villain for the series. The fact that this series had generational villains, like we watched at least two generations of superheroes and villains in this series. And it felt like Redestro was like, okay, I'm that new villain. I've always been here, but now I'm going public.
And now we're not fighting a boomer.
And he would have been a grander
presence.
We're not
fighting a boomer. We're fighting like, damn, what comes before a fucking boomer? What comes before boomers, Ivan?
It's us. It's Gen X, dude. Like, but I don't know. Like, It's just like, they definitely did something. With the fact that with all the support weapons that got out in the open, they had something there, but like, gosh, Reed Destro really could have capitalized more. Just as Reed Destro could have capitalized more on the situation, Horikoshi really could have capitalized on the character more.
What year is My Hero Academia? A grander presence,
more him fucking around with people. That could have been done. It would have been very fun. Just to take the weight off of All for One. It would not have made All for One less evil. It wouldn't have made him less of a threat. If anything, it would have diversified. It would have made All for One more special. The fact that there was more villains around who had their own thing going on, and All for One could have towered above them instead of, oh, I'm responsible for you. Or I smother you. Either I'm responsible for you, or I smother you. We can't coexist.
You have legitimately just made me aware of the fact that My Hero Academia is set in the mid to late 2100s. I did not know this.
Right.
I legitimately didn't know this until you just said, no, Val, it's us. It's our generation. It's like, wait, what?
Yep.
Oh, fuck. He's fighting a fucking millennial.
He's fighting a freaking neoliberal is what he's fighting. That's the joke I made in My Villain Abridged, is he's fighting a neoliberal. It's, oh, yeah, freedom's cool, but I still need to make bank. And it's the fact that you can't separate, you can't be free and tethered to a system. You can't. And that's Reed Destro. That's what he bitches about in the end of the series. He's like, oh, Shiggy, you're so free. I'm so jealous of your freedom. I'm going to make a deal with a fucking psychopath because I'm so rich. I've never experienced real human fucking tragedy or hardship. The fact that I could see a villain and idolize that and be a part of that. But we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
Oh, yeah, that was it. It was the bit where I liked the bit where All for One's like, tragedies are what make people stronger. Don't
exactly. Like, he's so jealous of that.
I don't fucking think so. I'm like, I legitimately thought he said that, and then Deku was going to turn that around on him and be like, look, you've had your fucking fingers in everyone's fucking pie, and now they've come back and beat the fucking shit out of you. You're right. It did make them stronger. To your detriment, fuck you. And then spit on him.
I feel like that's coming next. Honestly, if you want to make that a thing, I think that would actually that would be an improvement to what's going on here. I agree. If the fact that All for One should have been like, he says that tragedy makes you stronger. Again, it's the fact that this All for One we have right now isn't quite All for One. This is just like pure Malice now. It's not even the fun smiley fuck with you one. Now
he's
it's
nine.
Just
he looks like a fucked up nine.
But it's just like, he should have been like, you're welcome. He should be like, Deku, I made you. And then Deku be like, yeah, thank you for making us. Now we fucking destroy you.
We still have fucking time for the reveal to
tragedies make you stronger?
Dad.
Well, it made us defeat you is what it fucking did.
Ivan, we still have time for him to say, Deku, I am your father.
I hope it happens now. I hope it happens now.
It could happen, dude.
It's not. Deku's going to see his mom. You wonder where the mom is right now? She's picking up Jack from the airport.
What airport? There's no fucking airport here.
There's still
There's
an airport.
There's no planes. Jack is like fucking chilling in
if
America.
If the U.S.
Like,
Air Force is allowed to fly around, I'm sure there's still commercial airlines somewhere.
I'm pretty sure Jack has opened
this is,
a Tinder
This is Tokyo.
Account,
this is, and I'm, they can still use the Osaka airport.
Jack has opened a Tinder account and presumed that his wife and son are fucking dead.
I'm sure Southwest Tokyo is still running smoothly right now. The country's too efficient. Okay, let's go to One Piece.
My Hero Academia rocks. Can't wait for the next chapter in 2 weeks. I'm glad I'm gonna be so busy. We can't fucking talk about it.
Well, it's gonna be Golden Week, so like, yeah, we're not missing nothing.
No, yeah, which is nice because we've been missing shit.
But speaking of missing stuff and going on breaks and like dragging things out, I can officially say I'm tired of this announcement from Egghead. I'm tired of this. Can you just say what you really want to say now?
Oh, dude, I was on the phone with my girlfriend. I was like, fuck. And she was like, what? What's wrong? And I went, it's just...
One Piece, babe, you know.
One Piece, babe, is pissing me off. And it's like, oh, whatever then. And it's like, yeah, you wouldn't get
so
it.
So here's the recap. One Piece, 1113. We see, basically, all that really happens here is we see Egghead's true brain. That the piece of his head that was replaced with the top of an apple, we see that is a gigantic, freaking huge ass thing in a lab, and this is what's running the entire
that
island.
That bit was kind of fucked up, I thought.
Yeah, it's kind of uncomforting.
It's
white. Very unsettling.
Right.
And like, but otherwise, but besides that, reaction? We just get what he's been continuing for the past like month now, but excluding the break. where we're just getting shots of every person listening to this announcement. It's like, we've already done this. Like, this is fun little fan service, but my God, you gotta say what you mean now, because this is actually getting malicious now. How badly is this dragging this out?
For the payoff at the end of the chapter, I was like, oh, I actually like this now.
Okay, well, we'll get to that, but then I'm talking about Bonnie. Bonnie becomes a giant, so she has that power, distorted future, where it's... Before I understood this power, where it was, okay, I am going to, in a split second, create a future for myself. What if I worked out, like, every day of my life? Now I become strong for a brief second. Like, I figured that's how this worked. Mm-hmm. How do you become a giant in the future? Like, what do you do with your life that makes you a giant? Like, stop. What is this now?
It's a bit ridiculous. Like, I think
this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. I hate to be so mean about this and crabby.
In the lead up and everything, I agree. I mean, it could be like her devil
fruit. Distorted future was cool, but now it's like, okay, now this power has no restrictions.
Devil fruit? There is a giant devil fruit. Someone else has it, and it works with like the Nika thing, so it's like whatever.
Okay, so
I know what you mean.
So what you mean is what if while still having what's her fruit called?
I actually don't know. I can't think of the name off the top of my
whatever
head.
Fruit she has. So you're saying that in the future, where I have two devil fruit, where it's been scientifically proven that you explode if you eat two devil fruit. Mm-hmm. So instead of exploding, she becomes a giant. Like, stop. You can't explain this one away.
Age,
this is
age
stupid.
Fruit. And apparently the age fruit might have been a fucking Vegapunk experiment.
So this is what we're gonna work around. It's a artificial devil fruit. So she could still have a future where she could potentially eat any devil fruit. What you're saying is that she has access to any devil fruit power if she just imagines a future where she gets
it. No,
where does the buck stop, Oda?
It wasn't even Vegapunk. No, it was Jay Garcia. It was fucking Saturn, the big spider guy. He gave her the fruit, or like gave her an extract of the fruit, which is like... why she just turned up one day apparently with the power, which I've always
the ramifications of this is just astounding. I can't sit right with this one.
I hate to be that guy
with One Piece.
Oda was totally sat down and kind of went, I haven't shown Bonnie doing anything.
Do I really give a shit? That's usually what Otis usually says to himself. Do I really give a shit? And he goes, nah, not really. I'll let the nannies in the comments, you know, explain this one for me.
I can only
say
that,
there's
like,
my explanation. I don't know if it's a good one.
I can only say it's an awakened devil fruit. Luffy literally brings goggles and shit out of fucking thin air.
Yeah, but he's a cartoon character. That's not the thing. Luffy's power isn't I get to have every fucking devil fruit imaginable now.
No, true.
The ramifications of his power is not as unsettling as Bonnie's, as demonstrated here, if that's the explanation.
Bonnie's
which it's
OP.
Not. It's just my theory.
Bonnie is
it's
OP,
a bad one.
Except for when she isn't OP, which is usually most of the time until something like
okay, otherwise, happened. So that happened. Otherwise, then we get a moment with Robin, because they start bringing up, what's that island?
Ohara.
Ohara. They bring up Ohara, and so then frickin' Robin has a frickin' PTSD flashback. They protect Robin. A nice Straw Hat Crew moment, where they're protecting Robin from the elders, which is really nice. Otherwise, we see that York is still in play, trying to figure out where the hell Vegapunk hid the message. And then the last part is... we get what's supposed to be the reveal. I'm like, this better not be the only reveal. He reveals, our world is going to sink into the ocean. No shit. Have we not already learned this with Wano? That the world is definitely got more water in it than it used to? Is that not implied? Is that not always been the prevailing theory of One Piece? The fact that the entire world's just islands is the fact that the world clearly was a lot drier before Kyogre showed up? Before the IGN review showed up.
Before the events of Wind Waker happened.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay, if this is your grand reveal, I'm very upset. It's not. There's no way. There's got to be more.
I'm sure it's more about what the reasoning is behind this.
Right.
It's got to be. I quite liked it, actually. I'm kind of like, okay.
You're a longtime fan. I'm sure this was like a confirmation for me. I'm just like, no shit. We're like, yo, this was just a theory until now. So it's good that this is not confirmed.
Fucking stocks and Fishman are going up.
Yeah, our Fishman will rise.
Arlong is somewhere, and
it's not that the Fishman stock's rising. It's that the Fishman Island arc stock is rising. You have to read it now. You can't go over it.
Oh, man.
Damn.
Jax
that's
recently.
That's why I'm upset.
Jax has just gotten to Dressrosa, and he is kind of like, wow, Fishman Island and Punk Hazard are pretty fucking rough, aren't they? I'm like, yeah, it's sort of one of the weaker parts of the series.
Well, it was making it relevant, at least.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. It's, I'm interested to see what the implications of this are, besides, hey, eventually everyone's gonna die, or we're going to be living in fucking Waterworld. Like, what is this?
It's that meme, start learning fish speak, start learning to breathe underwater.
Yeah, it's I am excited for this. I am excited to see how this all connects, because it's got to be something to do with the One Piece, I imagine.
It's got to be something to do with the Eternal Flame or whatever it is they have.
The
Mother Flame.
I believe that it's all going to go to the moon. Like
the
world's
gonna
fill
with so much water that we reach the moon.
No. It's the Enaru stuff, because there is a civilization.
Or
the
moon is causing
it
because of gravitational
side
forces.
Story. There's like little robot people and everything up on the moon that Enaru is fucking.
Yeah, it might be the moon that's causing it.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Because the moon shifts the tides and affects the water levels. Yeah,
I think I once heard a theory that where people were like, "Oh, Emu is probably from the moon."
I mean, someone's gotta be, man.
No doubt, because on the moon as well, there's like weird people up there. There's like a seal.
Are they
man.
Weird? Are they just different from us, Val?
No. you fucking racist, Val. Why do you hate moon people?
What's your problem with moon people, dude? Shit.
You know, they're weird seals and stuff like that. They're, it's just not right, you know? I was fine.
Breathe
with
air
fish
like
man.
A normal person.
Look, I was
oh,
fine
so
with
so you don't
man.
Like fish people either, I see.
No, I'm fine with the fish people. It's the fucking minks I don't like, Ivan. They're degenerates.
I don't like the minks either, honestly. You know, high five for our racism there. We don't like the furries.
You know what? I'll say this, Ivan. When the Mink saga started, and it's like there's a whole like land of like animal people, I was just like, eh, okay. I remember that was a time where like I took a very brief break off of One Piece and let that kind of like pan out. Read it all and was like, yeah, that's a whole thing. Cool. I guess we got Carrot out of it. I like Carrot. I can't deny that.
Carrot's more endearing of them all.
Yeah. And Pedro.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, no, they're a cool minks and stuff, but it's whatever. But no, there's like legitimately a weird fucking sea lion man or something like that, or an otter that Enru fights or something.
In the window pages?
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure it's all going to lead back to that at some point. It was Enaru's great space operation, yeah. And he just fights some aliens and trains these little soldier dudes.
Speaking of trains, I know it's not the train you met, but speaking of trains, we're hitting our stop. Is there any final thoughts before we go away for Golden Week?
I'm really excited for this One Piece like revelation. I'm like, okay, this is just
the
start.
3 week wait before
this is the consequence. Now I want to know like what Vegapunk's theory is, why it's happening. I want to, and I found it interesting as well.
It's the promise
that
of
Vegapunk. I found Vegapunk interesting in the part where he is talking about the fact that he is not going to call, presumably, the Gorosei evil. They clearly fucking are. They, like, hold people in contempt. They literally call fucking people insects and stuff. Even people that work for them. They're clearly fucking
Vegapunk
bad.
Himself works for them. So, like, he's like,
yeah,
I gotta ease off the tension on me.
I respect the shit out of Vegapunk as a character already because, like, he holds
himself...
He sees
things a lot more grayer.
He holds things in objective fact.
Because he's a scientist like he should.
And he says, I'm a bad person as well. I also have great fucking sins on my head, and I don't have any right to call these people evil, really.
Yeah.
It's interesting, because I am... And it was Mars as well, when he went into the room, inspected it, and he's like, damn, is this like what's fucking left of you? are you even alive and stuff? And it's this face of, like, sadness. Like, I am really interested in the Gorosei, admittedly, like, more than a lot of characters right now, actually. What else is there? Sanji? Being fucking actually cool? I'm all here for Sanji. Fuck Zoro? No. I'm hoping Zoro gets something soon. I really am. But, I was actually really satisfied with this chapter. Maybe it's because we were deprived of One Piece for like 3 weeks. I agree, the fucking timer is a massive ball ache, but I think this chapter was really good. I'm happy with it. My Hero Academia slapped. One Piece slapped. Jujutsu Kaisen this week was okay. Chainsaw Man, god damn it, Fujimoto. I know you can do better.
That's why we don't want to talk about it anymore, but we definitely we had to have that conversation.
Yeah, we did. It's, man. See you in 2 weeks. So we'll have a good Golden Week.
Sigh. See you next week. Wow, what a great exit. That's kind of energy we want to leave off on before Golden Week. Everyone, have a great Golden Week. It's now officially spring. Go outside. What did we say last? Me and Stan said like do something. Oh, we told people to go rock climbing. So if you didn't go rock climbing last week, do it this week because we won't be here next week. But enjoy the spring, enjoy the time off, stop being terminally online, and look forward to, Val, as of this point, we only have 10 episodes left.
God. No, we got 11. What are we going to do? This is 89, isn't it?
This is 89, so yeah, it'd be 90.
So 11, we got like 11 episodes
left. I suck at math, that's a great energy to live on. I'm bad at math, bye!
Mind the gap as you exit our podcast safely. Rebuild of Joycast is hosted by Ivan Leroy and Valentine Stokes. Leroy's written and directed works can be found on the Joyride Entertainment YouTube channel. Val's dulcet tones can be heard in many of your favorite anime and web series, such as Ruby, Lackadaisy, Gunbuster, Death Battle, and more. Audio engineering by Stina Carey. Music provided by Lo-Fi Geek. Intro and outro narration by Stina Carey. Outro music composed by Michael Payovich. Logo and visuals designed by Ivan Leroy. Keep the conversation going by visiting Joyride's public Discord server, where you can discuss this week's topics and more. Patreon donors also get access to our weekly anime watch club with cast and crew. Links provided in the description. Rebuild of Joycast is produced by Joyride Entertainment and Rock Voice Productions, LLC, and made possible thanks to Patreon donations from generous listeners like you. Thank you for keeping Joyride's engine burning.